Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, midweek supplemental. This is episode number 165, a nice, clean, round number. I was going to say even number, but it's not even. So here we are at the Knife Junkie midweek supplemental. This is my chance to talk about knives in my collection, new knives out in the knife world, and just do a little bit of housekeeping with channel stuff and podcast stuff. And well, to start off, I want to talk about this past Saturday's town hall. It was our fourth town hall. This is not by design, but it kind of turns out that they're happening quarterly, these town hall meetings. And what we do is bring on knife makers and manufacturers and, you know, guests of the show, guests of the podcast. And we talk to them for about a half hour. People can ask questions through the comments or even come on. Yesterday we had, on Saturday, we had some people come on. So anyway, we had Ernest Emerson for the first about hour of the show, starting at noon. And it was great. It was from his ultimate man cave, his den. The place you see him make his videos and where he records his podcast. And it's just this really great office. The walls are lined with wood reclaimed from some old barn or something like that. He's got an old 1,000-year-old Viking battle axe over his shoulder and just stories to tell. And that's what we did. We talked to him for a while. He told some stories about coming up, and he also showed us some knives out of his vault, his very first CQC6, his very first knife, which was a Bally Song, and some other great knives, that Rhino, which is the ultimate folding tactical knife. If you don't know what I'm talking about and you haven't seen the town hall yet, which you can catch in replay on YouTube, you have to check out the Emerson Rhino. It is by far the most tactical folding knife ever. And you'll know why when you see what it's all about. So we had Ernest Emerson. We had Alex Steingraber, a new guy on the knife scene who's just captured me and many others with his passion for investigating new steels, and not new steels, but investigating the properties of steels and getting really in the weeds with them, and also how to heat treat and how to really dial all that stuff in. And he's an excellent dude with a couple of knife patterns that he's doing all this investigation on, if you will. Alex came on, and we chatted for about a half hour, and there was a lot of shop talk. He knows what he's talking about. And then we had TJ Schwartz come on, and TJ is a stalwart of the design world at a young age. I mean, I don't even know how old he is, but I'm not going to speculate here, but much younger than I am, and he has designed some epic knives already. And, including the Koenig Arius, that was his first thing, the Zenata, which is a knife that fits together all with dovetail joints, no screws, no anything else like that. And then just a whole slew of other knives. So he came on, the Overland, that's the one I've been crazy about lately. He came on, we talked about design and his, expanding production capacity. So anyway, the town hall was awesome. I don't mean to, recount every single minute of it right here, but, it was a blast. Please come and join us next time. Let me tell you something great that happened. A good friend of the show here, Edwin Callow, who's got, he's the resident expert on Emerson knives, had a chance to come on to the town hall, meet Ernest Emerson, which he was planning to do at one of the year's knife shows that was canceled, and had an opportunity to tell him the story about how he helped rescue people, stranded in a hurricane with his CQC7. In 1999. And from that day on, he knew it was all about Emerson knives. And it was really cool to see him tell that story and to see, Ernest Emerson's reaction and just their interaction. It was great. So definitely check out the next town hall. Hopefully we'll have Lance Abernathy on the next one. He was planned. He was rostered for this one and had a work thing he had to handle. We all know how real life comes colliding and crashing in on our knife life. So Lance, love to talk to you next time. That's Lance Abernathy of Sniper Blade Works. So there you have it. Town Hall. Next, Patreon. Thank you, everybody who's a member. And I just want to say that next Thursday Night Knives, we will be doing our next Gentleman Junkie. That's the $10 level giveaway of a knife. Still to be determined. I have a few on the I have a shelf in this room that has knives that are coming in or going out. And there are a couple of there that are appropriate. And so I'm going to figure out what that is. That's November 19th, Thursday Night Knives. November 19th, Patreon giveaway. Thursday Night Knives, not sure what it's going to be. All right, next. This is something I'm a little nervous to talk about, but I have to be transparent here. I've been righteously talking about this No New Knives November, the moratorium I put on buying knives in the month of November. Well, it certainly didn't stop the flow of knives in to my den here. I got to one viewer sent me 6 Rough Riders almost immediately as soon as November started, and it's been going like that ever since. However, yesterday, and well, doesn't matter what yesterday means, but 13 days in to this thing, I actually spent money on a knife. I broke it. I broke my own righteously created moratorium on buying new knives because Great Eastern Cutlery came out with one, and it's tiny, and I love their tiny knives, and it's a Warncliffe, and I knew that it was just a fluke that I actually saw one in stock somewhere, and I let that impulsive Bob take over. Impulsive Bob took over, and I bought that knife. But in the flood of guilt, that heat that comes up in your face when you feel guilty, during that period, after I pressed go and they sent the thank you and here's your code and all that, I thought, you know, well, here's the only way to approximate making this right is to not open it until December. And probably what I should do is wait till next November to open it. But I'm just not there yet with my character. So we'll have to work on that. But I have resolved to not do what I've been doing, which is lurk in the spots where I find out about new knives. But how am I supposed to do that? I have a podcast about it. So it's an inner battle, and I'm bringing you along. So there you have it. It's a confession. Anyway, I want to move on to some knife life news. I want to make good on this bad and just plow forward.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
So a new knife brand. Yes. Coming from Wee Knives, as if they weren't making enough, as if they weren't prolific enough. Wee Knives, who also has Civivi, which is their now midline brand, has Sencut. Sencut, it's a new brand from Wee. And I mean, who's not excited about that? Because we watched Civivi prices and quality, not quality. I mean, the build quality has always been excellent, but we've watched the materials and pricing of Civivi creep up just ever so slightly, but still. And so they said, okay, we want to keep moving with this upward trend of Civivi and make it a luxury midline brand. You know, we have our Wee Knife brand, which is definitely a luxury brand. So what about the people who still only want to pay 40, 50 bucks? So that's what Sencut is. And so they've come out with 2 new knives that I've seen. They're kind of dribbling them out through Amazon right now. Sorry for the adjective. Releasing them, through Amazon right now. But soon they're expected to be as ubiquitous as Civivi and Wee throughout the regular knife buying places online. But look at that. That looks like a Wee knife. That looks like a Civivi knife. And they're going to be going with the 9CR MOV, which is apparently an excellent steel. I don't think I have any actual experience with it, but apparently it's like a 440C or leaps and bounds above 8CR 13 MOV. And so they're going to be going with that G10 steel liner locks. And you know their build and their action. It's going to be good stuff. And I respect a company that can be nimble and say, you know, oh, here's our budget line. And then a few years later, they're like, well, this is our budget line. This is our like regular line. That's what Civivi is turning into. I think it's kind of like their, since it's in the middle, now it's their regular line. And then if you want something super special or extra special, you lay down the extra special money and you get the fancy Wee designs. But if you notice, Wee has a tendency to echo some of their more, iconic design features from certain knives down their line. Well, into Civivi. So now it'll be down through Civivi and Sencut. So interesting. What do you think? It's kind of like, well, not kind of like anything. It's just another player, but another player from a familiar player that we trust. So can't be much wrong with that. I look forward to checking it out. But if you go to the Amazon page and check it out through the link on Knife News, you'll see they have another one. They have two designs out right now that you can buy. $45, I think. The other one is a really nice looking clip point blade with an interesting almost pistol grip handle, but geometric and looks very comfy. So cool looking knives, great looking knives. And coming from Wii, you know they're going to be good. And if you can tolerate 9CR, you're in luck. All right, next, from Real Steel, we have another modern slip joint. This time it's from Jason Wysorkiewicz. That's my estimation of how you pronounce his last name. And I would love to talk to this guy. He's a Polish gentleman, Poltergeist design, Blade Works, always making really, really beautiful signature style. Everything he makes looks like his style, but it's not, not self-derivative. Anyway, this is a slip joint. You've got the G10. You've got the back spring. You've got it's a drop point. This new one, by the way, is called the Stella, and it comes on the heels of the Luna, which was we talked about on this show a little while back, which is a little bit larger and a little less droppy of a drop point, if you will. This one here has a 2.76 inch, so 2¾-inch blade, and it doesn't lock, so it's going to be legal in many places around the world. But look at that blade. It's beautiful. It's a drop point. Let's see. Ben Schwartz over at Knife News says it's almost like a modified Warncliffe. I see that. And I think it's the Fuller that makes his eye think that. But to me, this almost looks like a dagger point. It almost looks like a spear point blade. So, very cool, interesting knife. And I bring it up because, I'm on this slip joint kick, and these knives are interesting to me, and I would love to get this knife in particular, and also the Luna, and a couple of the other modern slip joints we've featured here. But I don't need the clip, frankly. I don't need it to try and, I don't need the conveniences of a modern folder on mine. So I would probably remove this, because these days I'm only keeping one knife clipped to me, and that's my main carry. So for this, I would put it in one of those little slips, put it in my pocket, something like this, and let it disappear. But I love the modern materials. I love the modern take and Jacob Wysorkiewicz's design language on this sort of classic folder. It's cool. I love it. Sorry for butchering your name, sir. I'd love to talk to you on the show. If you ever listen to this, contact me. So this is a story that came up in two other places before here right now, but I got to talk about it. We talked about it on Thursday Night Knives last week, and we talked about it on the Town Hall with Ernest Emerson, and that is the new CQC-17. So the CQC-17 is a new knife. It's in the Signature series, meaning it's a very limited production, and it was announced and sold out in a matter of seconds. Well, it was announced and then sold out in a matter of seconds. Our good friend Edwin of the show had one, and actually he was the one who was able to show this off on the Town Hall because as Ernest told us, they sold out so quickly, he didn't even have one himself. So we showed it off there. But it's diminutive compared to most new releases from Emerson, which hover around the 3.5 to 4 inch blades length. This is in their sort of mini category. This is 3¼-inch. And it's that beautiful razor, it's reminiscent of a straight razor, but with a nice point. And just a great little EDC. And that's, a lot of Emerson knives are aimed towards a more tactical use. They're a little more weapony, but this is a, kind of bona fide EDC knife, which could definitely flex into that other need if need be. But loving this thing, and I really hope, so when we were talking about this on the Town Hall, I asked, how do you determine whether something goes into production? You do these unique signature series releases every year. How do you determine whether or not that's going to go into production? He says, well, obviously it has to do with how it's received by the public. And you know, with how quickly this was snapped up. And I think it's not just the Emerson collectors out there who are waiting for anything new. I also think it's the Emerson people who have an eye on Emerson designs, but need something a little smaller, a little more EDC friendly, who snatched this up. So this thing, or at least that's what I'm hoping. I think it's going to be popular enough that they're going to want to put this into regular production and then hopefully into a larger size also. I'm smitten with it, but you know, pretty much any Emerson design is preaching to the choir for me. There are a couple I don't care for. The Bulldog, it doesn't really do it for me. The any sort of non-traditional Karambit style Karambit doesn't do it for me. But that's like a few things on the outside. I'd still take them and happily add them to my collection. So Ernest Emerson, CQC 7, 17, sorry. Check out the town hall, this last town hall, to listen to a story about a friend of his who bought the 17 because of a story it evoked in his memory from growing up in Staten Island. So, cool story, great looking blade. I really hope I get my hands on one in the future.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life News, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie podcast.
All right. Next, I want to talk about State of the Collection, my new knives. Yes, I know. No new Knife November. I shouldn't have any of those. But these were all gifts that I'm going to talk about here. And gifts and or tryout things. Like, check these out. You need to check them out. Products that are coming to market. Like this first one. I'll talk first about the Snaggletooth Tactical. They have a new product. You know Snaggletooth Tactical from their aftermarket pocket deployer hook. That you can remove a pocket stud on your knife, then you can put on the Snaggletooth Tactical MF. And what you do is, unscrew the existing stud, put this thing on, and then you can cam it out of your pocket, much like an Emerson Wave, I'll say it. I love this product. It started off, for cold steel knives specifically, but they have gone to, basically, you can put them on anything that you can remove the thumb stud. They've also made smaller versions, like for this, bug out. So I wanted to show this. I have the small one for the bug out, but I also wanted to show this. It's a new product they have called the Engagement Ring. And if you know Snaggletooth MF or Snaggletooth Tactical, that all of their words, all of their product names have a little pun to them. I like this engagement ring, but it really is an engagement ring. It helps you engage your knife, especially knives like this and the Rat 2, I think this fits also. But knives like this with a deep carry pocket clip that give you very little room to grab onto the thing. If you're not a fob kind of guy, you don't want a lanyard string on there. This is a stiff engagement method. Much like their cog ring, another little pun there, cog ring, which fits onto the old Recon 1s. And kind of turn it into a karambit, but it's a stiff ring engagement kind of a pulling device. I didn't need that many words, but you know what I mean. And so that's what this thing is. And so Rob Penna of Snaggletooth Tactical sent one over to me, and I've been carrying it on my, as you can see, on my bug out. This bug out tends to live in my waistband, just kind of over here on my right hip, just in case I need an extra knife, maybe something more discreet than I'm carrying in my pocket, I need to pull it out, or in an emergency, I lose my other knife, I have this one here. Well, this, for in the waistband carry, especially with a deep carry pocket clip, is perfect, this engagement ring, because it's just kind of sitting there. You can't see it at all because it's on my waistline. But even if it were hanging out of the pocket, it's not much to see, you know. But when I want to pull this thing out, it's right there. And then with the addition of the Snaggletooth MF, you know, engagement hook there. It just pops out. Now, the thing you cannot do with this is not a karambit. You can't do really karambit techniques because it moves on this axis too. So it is for removing. And actually, I was watching Jimmy Slash's video on this. He was the first guy to get this engagement ring. And what he does is he just kind of puts his third finger in there, pulls it out, and then has the knife in hand, or he uses his pinky. You could do that too. But what it's not good for is drawing like a karambit, automatically engaging the blade and then doing your manipulations or whatever you're going to do to flip it and get it oriented correctly in your hand because of this sideways movement. I think it could be really dangerous to do that. So if your natural proclivity is to grab a ring like that and to whip it out and flip it and get it, you know, engaged, it might not be the product for you. But if you're a regular person, you just walk around with a deep carry clip like this, either on your Rat 2 or on your Bug Out, this thing is awesome. I really, really like it. And then, as always, the engagement hook is just is sweet. Now, a little note on these Snaggletooth MFs. If you're a righty and you're going to get one for your Cold Steel or for your Bug Out or for whatever, I might encourage you to get a left-handed version, even if you're a righty, because so this is a left-handed version on a knife set up for righty, for right-hand carry. But there is enough there. There is enough of this Snaggletooth piece on the main side of the blade where that little, where the screw is, to open the knife if you want to just slow roll it open. It comes with a big hex nut on the other side as a thumb stud. And actually, if you're less coordinated with your left hand, this nut works great for the left, for lefty, because it's a little big, sits a little bit more proud of the knife handle itself, and it's sharp. It'll grab your, you know, it's a hexagon. It'll grab your thumb well if your left thumb is less coordinated. So if you're going for a Snaggletooth MF pocket deployer, and you're a right-handy and you're a right-hander, and you're going to carry your knife on your right-hand side and you're going to use it in your right hand, I would still consider buying the Snaggletooth MF for left. I like it better. It's more comfortable on my delicate thumbs, and it works just as well. All right, well, there you have it. It's the engagement ring. That's what I really wanted to talk about, the engagement ring for the Bug Out. I'm going to be carrying it for the next couple of weeks, and then I'm going to give a review. I know Rob is interested in my take on it, so I will give him that, indeed. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Next, I want to talk about the off-grid knives. Well, off-grid knives. I recently spoke to Kerry Orefice, who owns and runs Off-Grid Knives. And very interesting story. This guy is another, I've spoken to a few recently who are men of a certain age, and I got to say, they're like my age, who have decided to take their passion for knives to the next level and start a company. And they've been doing well. And so Off-Grid Knives is one of those knives, and is one of those companies. I got my first one in hand through our good friend Dave, This Old Sword Blade Reviews on YouTube. He sent me a couple of donation knives to the channel to give away or to auction off or what have you. And one of them was the Off-Grid Knives Sea Dog version 2. I don't have it here at the moment, but I was very impressed with the knife and knew that they had various levels of production. So I got in touch with them, ended up doing a nice, great interview with Kerry. And I'm very happy to meet him. And afterward, he sent me a package, a really generous and awesome care package to include a t-shirt and a hat. Love the swag, but also a couple of knives to check out. And man, I'm ever more impressed than the Sea Dog version 2, which I really liked the Sea Dog, but the knives he sent me are very refined. Now, if you don't know Off-Grid Knives, it's an American company out of California. The guy who runs it, Kerry, does all the designing, and then he has two companies producing his knives. He's got a more affordable tier made by Best Tech. And if you know about Best Tech knives, they really know how to make a knife. And so the less expensive ones are Best Tech, and then the premium, it's called the Elite Line, they're made by Wee. So let me show you what he sent me. This one, this is the Black Stallion. This is in D2. This is the more affordable line. Look at that. Three screw deep carry pocket clip. This is milled G10. Very, very pleasing to the hand. If you have any sort of, tactile stem issues, you'll love this knife. It feels great in hand. You've got steel liners. It's a liner lock. You've got, stand up there, but look at that super broad, beautiful, sheep's foot blade is what it is. I was calling it a Warncliffe, and then Dave actually corrected me. It's a sheep's foot blade, and it's 2 inches wide. 2 inches wide with a 1-inch saber grind on very thin stock. And this grind makes it super, super crazy thin and sharp. As you can see, I've used that tip, which is quite robust, but has been breaking into. I've been having a lot of stubborn clamshell packages recently that just devours them like it's not there. I love this knife. Very thin and light, pocketable. And then it has that air of menace that I demand in any knife I carry, even if it's the simplest and most innocent of EDC knives. Love this thing. The Black Stallion. The name is evocative of a movie that was popular when I was a wee one. Next is in their Elite line. This is the Scorpion. And this is a very impressive knife. This is made by Wee Knives. And it's got this handle that I love because it's ergonomic and terribly neutral at the same time. Like, if you look at it, it's got all of the angles in the right places, but they're angles, so it looks like it shouldn't be comfortable. It's incredibly comfortable. It reminds me of a bit of a SOCOM. It's kind of got a handle a bit like a SOCOM, and it just fits the hand beautifully, and I love that blade, that aggressive clip point, forward clip point blade. I love that. Some people might call it a reverse tanto. I say get out of town with your reverse tanto. That's a made-up word. So get out of here with that. This is an aggressive forward clip point, and I love it. It's a S35VN. Very, very sharp. I've been carrying this for the past few days, and the interesting thing about it is I've been kind of off of titanium frame lock flippers lately, and this has rekindled that love. By the way, look at that swedge. Look at this blade. It's a beautiful blade. Evocative to me of a LCC from the early 2000s. And I know I'm pretty sure that's not what he was considering, but I love that, this sort of shape. And to me, that's what it's evocative of. This is just an excellent, excellent knife. Deep carry pocket clip. This here I thought was going to be an issue, having that well that's carved out to create the lock bar so close to where the clip meets the handle. That sometimes can be an issue when you try and tug it out of your pants and you have a thick seam. But on this knife, it's positioned just at the right angle and just on off of that surface that it doesn't bind up at all. I have an issue with that with a couple of my absolute favorite knives have an issue with the bunching right there with the clip interface with the handle and that carve out there. And that's not an issue here. Visually, I thought it would be. Really, really awesome knife. So if you like the design, you know Wee has an excellent track record for building awesome knives. I love that Jinpin knife too. Beautiful knife. And then lastly, Off Grid is doing I guess they're doing two fixed blades, but Carrie sent me this. It's called the Alpha Dog. Did you hear that? Alpha Dog. Look at this thing. So this is an absolute brute. It's a quarter inch thick slab of K110, which I'm told is analogous to, I don't remember what it was. We were just talking about it on Thursday Night Knives. Someone mentioned it. I can't remember what they said. D2. I think it's analogous to D2 or something. But this thing is beautiful. It's heavy, feels so good in the hand. It reminds me a little bit of a camp version of the Raja 3 folder from Cold Steel. It looks like it's kind of like a Kukri that's been squashed a bit, except you don't have the recurve. You don't have to worry about a recurve, sharpening a recurve. Some people worry about that. I don't. You have that nice straight there. You have this beautiful belly. This would be awesome for, I'm told, for hunting, for skinning game. Never done that before, but that blade looks like it would be decent for that. And splitting wood, whatever you want to do outdoors with this thing, it's a pretty tremendous knife. I have not used it yet, but I plan on banging it through some wood. I plan on batoning it through some logs to make kindling for the fire pit tonight. So we'll see how this works out. I'm sure it's going to work incredible. I mean, it feels amazing in hand. Also, on this G10 handle, you've got these really cool divots here that you'll find in a lot of outdoorsy knives. I can't speak to bushcraft, but it seems like it's bushcraft ready. This thing is heavy. So you got to be ready for a heavy knife. But to me, that's part of its charm, because you get a lot of chopping power in this relatively long handle and this very short blade. So if you were to put a lanyard here and, you know, make it something that wraps around the back of your hand and then choke back halfway down this handle, which is pretty generous, there's enough weight in this thing. And this is a broad and wedgy enough blade that you could definitely do some serious kind of chopping with this. Serious for a knife chopping. Yeah, I mean, that's my thoroughly unscientific and unexperienced prognosis. Love this thing. So look for videos to come on these three knives from Off Grid Knives. Lastly, something that came in for... something that came in during No New Knife November was a delayed purchase, if you will. I was gifted something. I wasn't exactly gifted, but the price I was given was a gift. And the fact that it exists and came to me was a gift. And that is the beer and sausage. You know, I've been obsessing about getting a Great Eastern Cutlery beer and sausage in either the bone or the micarta handle. But really, any would have done. And good buddy Mike Latham from CollectorKnives.net sent me a text, said, "I've got one. Do you want it?" And he said, "I'll give it to you for this price." And it was a very, very nice price. And I said, "Why, yes, of course." And he said, "I'm going to send it to you, but don't send me a check until December 1st. I want to make sure that you're maintaining your integrity." And I said, "Thank you. Thank you for helping me maintain my integrity." Little did I know I would self-sabotage just a few days later. But I'm going to make that right. Anyway, the beer and sausage. This micarta, canvas micarta handle has a very, very nice texture to it. Like it's grippy. And if this got wet, it would be extra grippy. It does not have a polish on it. It's really pleasing to the hand. There, you got that beer and sausage shield. You've got the grooved bolsters with the brushed finish. Beautiful spear point. I'm not always the biggest spear point fan, but if I'm going to have a spear point, I want it to look like that. With that beautiful machine ground swedge, the long pull, and I like the way they do their etch. It's one of those etches that comes off with use. And if you don't plan on using it, it's great to have it there to commemorate what it is. But if you do plan on using it, I like that it goes away with, you know, one polishing, basically. I don't think I'm going to use this one because this is a novelty. But I'll show you the rest of it. You know the rest of it, but in case you've been in a dark place, and I just want to pretend that this is brand new to everyone. Over here, look at that. Yeah. So once you've cut your sausage with that knife, you can pick it up off of the paper plate with that fork. And then when they come around with beer, you can open it. So this is kind of a hipster knife. To me, it actually reminds me of a place I used to go when I lived in Brooklyn called Radagast. It was a beer garden, and they had sausage, like a place where you could go get sausage, and you just sit at these long Valhalla tables and drink beer and eat sausage. It was awesome. This would have gone really well back then. So we got that. And then when you're done, you can comb out your hipster beard with that. Oh, I got a little, some crumbs over here. And this is called the Beard Refuse Removal Tool. BRR tool. Also an etch that will come out easily. It's got that little pick at the end that helps you open it up. And I'm also wondering, like, if you sharpen it, it could be a toothpick. But I'm not going to be using this. I'm going to keep it in pristine shape and just kind of pull it out to show it off every once in a while. The comb here is sharp. When I grow a beard in the winter, I like to comb it because it feels good to kind of itch that skin underneath. And if you do that too hard with this, you'll bleed. But great knife. Mike, thank you so much, sir. What an awesome, awesome gift. This is on the, well, it's not a gift, but kind of a gift with that price you gave me. This is on the 35 frame, by the way. So I'm putting an open call out there to anyone who in December or beyond will have, I'm looking for a Churchill. That is, I think the last time GEC ran the 35, that's an equal-ended cigar jack knife. They ran one called the Churchill. It had on one side a sheep's foot And then the main blade was a clip point. And just, I never got it. I think it was on a single spring, but I could be mistaken. Never got it. Always looked at it. And now it's just not an option. And I wish I had gotten that. So it's an open call. Anyone who has a Churchill, who thinks they might want to get rid of it, let me know. I'd be happy to consider it. All right. Well, that just about brings us to the end of this edition of the Knife Junkie Podcast, Wednesday supplemental edition. And I want to thank you for coming on and joining and listening and just being a part of this. It's been so much fun for me. And, you know, it's been an enriching thing to meet not just the people who are making these knives and designing them and coming up with them, but all of you who have reached out to me, who are fans of this show, who are just fans of knives and listen to the other knife podcasts and watch all the reviewers and all that. We all love you. Thank you for everything you do. And well, that's it. So this is Bob DeMarco thanking Jim behind the switcher for working his magic as usual. And I just want to say have a great week and don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at ReviewThePodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, TheKnifeJunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at TheKnifeJunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on TheKnifeJunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at TheKnifeJunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob@TheKnifeJunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.